afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Rock Solid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I am Pat Francis.
And I'm Gary Lucy. And he's
Matt Belknap.
And we are here today to have some fun.
Gonna have so much fun. Wait, this has been so fun lately. It feels like there's like a Keith Richards-like infusion of new blood into the show. Like, we've got rid of all our old heroin blood.
Yep.
We got fresh blood.
We have a set record time that we're doing. It's a set schedule. So we're not like always like, when can you do it? I don't know. When can you do it?
I don't know.
I have a baby. I have a new house. My wife's saying yakety yak. I can't fucking come in. My kids need to do homework.
Don't talk back.
Could I get a little more in my headphones? And when I say
that?
I mean a little more.
Yeah.
Loving.
Sure.
Hey, guys, we're recording this episode on August 12th, Sunday morning.
Oh, and it's a hot August day.
It's a hot August day because last night I went to see Neil Diamond. It was his first time at the Greek Theater in 25 years. Audio and video were recording, and
he knows what he did.
And I'm not talking about rerun and the what's happening, gang. I mean, I think they were recording Hot August
for a DVD
3 last night. So Neil was 71 years old. He played some of the song a little slower than he normally would, and he was moving a little slower. And the band looked like just a bunch of people that would be in an old folks home.
Forever in mom jeans.
but I did want to play a quick piece of stage patter from Neil's 1970 concert at the Troubadour, where I think Neil might be high.
Okay.
So this is...
Wow, it's really jammed in here tonight. I really feel sorry for you, you know, like put together. Feels great from up here, I gotta tell you.
Okay.
The show is being recorded.
That's it. So he's telling the people, the Troubadour holds about 250 people, so he's basically saying, you people look really uncomfortable out there. Wow, that sucks. I've got lots of room up here, and all right. So he just sounds like high to me. Hey, whoa.
Why did they leave that in?
I don't know.
Like when you're making the album. So he listened to that at some point.
Yep.
Yeah. No, keep that. That's good.
Of sound, mind, and body. He listened to that clip and he was like, yeah.
Maybe he was high when he listened to the clip.
That could be. Was he a guy who did drugs?
I think he probably smoked some weed back then.
Yeah,
sure,
casually.
In the 70s.
I've never heard anything about him being like having any... He never had a problem. Obviously.
No. I bet he just smoked some weed and had a drink. Listen to that voice. Of course he had a whiskey after the show.
Yeah.
I had a brief observation before your thing about today, the Olympics wrapping up, and it's just about right? Aren't you about Olympic out and like...
Well, I'm tired of them keeping me up until midnight
to see the one thing I want to see. Yeah, they got to figure out a better system with that, with the internet and stuff. Seems like we could...
Yeah.
Get all our Olympics in 20 minutes without.
Just show the winners. Just show everyone crossing finish lines.
There you go. He won. But I was thinking that the Olympics are like the municipal equivalent of a tattoo. Is it like years from now? Say, London, why do you have this aquatic center in the middle of the suburbs? We had the Olympics in 2012. We got drunk and had the Olympics.
I'm actually going to London in October with my wife.
Good time.
She's going to be teaching. So, hopefully I'll get to see some of that stuff will still be up and about. Like
maybe you can
the
jump
Olympic
in those
Village.
Pools.
Maybe I can.
Yeah.
In October, freezing.
No one's going to be in them.
Nope.
You'll just be swimming around by yourself.
Race myself. Won the gold.
Can you guys ever, in your wildest imagination, jump off one of those 30-meter things?
Shit. It looks so high.
It's so crazy.
Have you done it?
No. I've jumped off. I've done a cliff jump. Yeah, when I was a dumb teenager.
I had a cliff bar.
Look, 15 years ago, I went to the water park with Pardo, and I would climb the whole way up to the slide, and then I'm like, I can't do it. Got to go back down. So I couldn't even do some of the slides.
You're like a child. You're like a 2-year-old.
I couldn't do it. Then he finally gets me to go in one. And like, you know, you go, and then it gets steep as you go through this tube. And then it's not a closed tube. The tube only goes for like 10 feet. I was like flailing at the wall, like trying to stop myself. I was like so
petrified.
Why?
That's fun at that part.
I don't know. I was so petrified.
Although this will make you never, ever, ever want to go on that. I went to college with a guy who was at a water park, and the tubes are like, you know, they can't obviously manufacture them all in one giant thing.
Right,
so it's pieces together. That are bolted together. Somehow they're glued together or something.
It's going to freak me out.
Yeah. that it came apart
oh.
a little bit, and like the lip of one of the things was up. Like, so he went over it and sliced his entire leg open. Like, he had this huge,
like a mandolin
scar.
Slicer.
Yes, oh exactly. He was like a, he was Julienne.
Oh, you, I think you had told me this before, and I feel the exact same way as when you told it to me the first time.
So horrible.
This
horrible.
Episode brought to you by Raging Waters.
The same thing happened to my friend, except this, the piece just fell out, and he just fell 100 feet.
Is that true?
No.
Well, that would explain why you were scared of them.
At least on that high dive, you may be three stories up, but at least you're almost naked, too.
Yeah, those bathing suits are skimpy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's the imagination.
No.
Hey, this reminds me of something. Not really. Bad segue. Gary was talking about Def Leppard re-recording some hits.
Been all over the news lately.
Yeah, been all over the news. CNN.
Yeah.
Pretty sure Joe Elliott was being interviewed by...
he was in the Situation
Yeah,
room.
Sure. He was on... Yeah, exactly. But so I put a bunch of these together, and we'll just listen to you know, the original and then the re-record, and we'll see what we think. We'll start with Def Leppard. This is the original version of Rock of Ages.
How did they recreate that line? That's impossible.
Well, wait till you hear it.
Or did they just sample the Offspring song?
Okay, I think that's good. Jump to the next one.
With the chuckles, even.
I know, because they know it. This is ridiculous, so they're laughing at themselves. I got something to say.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. So, I mean, that's, if that was the original, great. Yeah. But in comparison, it's just missing.
It just feels like milk that's, you know, like when milk is like a couple days past, it's like it just
slightly off. Slightly off. Won't make you sick, but it's.
No,
yeah,
but it doesn't do it.
All right. Now we're going to jump to an example. This is Foreigner. This is Cold as Ice. It's with the original lead singer. And then we'll hear the new guy. All right, now let's go to the new singer, Kelly Hansen. That was Lou Gramm. This is Kelly Hansen.
You're as cold as ice. Oh. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
Now, I will say, I like this singer.
He sounds good. I mean, he sounds pretty accurate.
He is pretty accurate, and he does a great job live. And, again, I guess this is one of those times when now they can license these re-records and not pay Lou Gramm other than a writing royalty. I mean, I really don't know why. I'm not sure why bands do this. I'm not. I don't understand.
It's definitely some kind of legal end around.
Yeah. So, okay, this next one, this is Kiss.
Okay.
This is the original version of Love Gun, followed by the re-record, which does not have Peter and Ace on. It has Eric Singer and
Love Gun
and
89
Tommy
or
Thayer.
Something.
It was recorded in 2008. So here we go. Here's the original Love Gun. No place to hide it, baby. No place to run. You pull the trigger of my Love Gun. Okay, and here's the re-recorded classic. There's a little bit more going on with the drums. It sounded like a little bit more fills in there to me. But, I mean, again, this is just so they don't have to pay Ace and Peter, I think. I'm serious. Yeah. I really think that's why.
He's singing about his dick.
I know. It's a love gun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... It brings to mind the question about... Me and Matt have been playing a lot of song pop lately, and there's like a lot of like re-records and hinky live versions and stuff on there.
Is there? Okay.
And it makes you think about like the difference between like songs and performances, and like so like we're fans, like we think of it as songs, but it's actually performances.
Yeah.
Like these certain like performances captured in the studio. Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's easy to say, hey, anybody could have made Call Me Maybe a hit, but I don't know. Let's give Carly Rae a little bit of credit.
Yeah, yeah.
She's bringing something to the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got three more of these. This next one, this is a song Matt and I have talked about that it's like almost a perfect 80s song. This is Working for the Weekend by Loverboy. Let's hear the opening. Get to the vocal and then we'll stop it. Everyone's watching. Okay. Now play the beginning of that one more time, real quick. Just that. Okay, that cowbell, you got to have that at the beginning of this song.
Yeah.
So now it's 30 years later. This album just came out last week. It's called Rock and Roll Revival. It's got three new Loverboy songs, and then they re-recorded all their hits. I guess it would be like a live album without being in front of an audience. But here's Working for the Week.
Are there any different lineup changes or just the same?
Just the bass player, because the original bass player was lost at sea. I'm not kidding.
What?
He was. He went out on his boat and never came back.
Wow.
Why are we laughing hard at that?
Why are you laughing? That is such
horrible.
It's a tragedy.
It's hilarious because it's like Spinal Tap. It's just a hilarious way for
But it's true. I know. I said that straight up and you guys laughed like idiots.
I know, because it's for a rock and roll footnote to come to that kind of untimely demise is so funny.
What if he's on an island right now with an all seagull version of Loverboy? Squawk, 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 squawk.
Okay, let's try. Let's see how they ruined Working for the Weekend in 2012.
What?
Okay, stop.
What?
Why did they do that? Why did they do that?
It's still a cowbell. It's just at the other end of a drainage tunnel.
Yes. It doesn't even sound like the other one's like tink, tink, tink. And this one's like conk, conk, conk. Let's hear it again.
It's lame.
Back to back.
See, that's right there in your face.
There's like echo on that.
Insane echo. Yeah, that's really bad.
Let's hear a little of Mike Greeno's voice and... But other than that, some of these sound a little heavier. They kind of like
crunchier,
yeah,
beefier for sure.
They're like, it's the '90s, right? Let's crunch it up.
No, it's 2012.
What?
All right, two more. This is Journey. I think this might be one of the hardest vocalists to replace. This is a. Steve Perry singing Only the Young. Here we go. Do you guys know this song at all?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, and now this is Arnel Pineda from the Philippines. They re-recorded all their hits, and here's Arnel.
Now that's eerie.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Has anyone done a DNA check on this guy? Because like, you know the Journey like did some shows
that's
in the
true.
Philippines in the early 80s, late 70s.
Oh, I thought you said maybe Steve Perry's mom fucked some Filipino and like brothers.
No, I'm saying he spread his seed in their heyday, and then this is the result.
He created
his own replacement.
Now this last one we're closing out with. I think this is the best of the best. I'll tell you a quick story about this. This is Styx, and the song's Lady. Okay. And it's from their 1973 album, Styx 2. Mm-hmm. In 95, they wanted to release a greatest hits album, but Lady was on an independent label back then called Wooden Nickel, and they would not give Styx the rights to include this on their greatest hits because they felt, well, then no one's ever going to buy Styx 2. They only buy this because of Lady.
Right.
So the band went in and recorded it as Lady 95, and I'm serious. I think this is the best one ever. Listen to original.
Lady, when you're with me, I'm smiling.
I know. Loverboy would have put conk.
Whoa, 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 your love.
Okay, now go to Lady 95.
Lady.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you're with me, I'm smiling.
The It's just a little cleaner from the technology, I guess. Yes.
But this is one, if I played you this, you wouldn't know that this wasn't the original.
I would just think it was remastered or something. Yeah. Build me up when I'm
sinking. Just touch me. All right. I don't want to give Dennis Young too much credit, but I think maybe that might have like benefited from the wisdom of years. Like maybe he's, you know, he's loved a lady for a few more years now and has a little more resonance, you know, for him somehow than
the And the only difference between Lady 95 and Lady, other than... is that Tommy Shaw sings backup vocals on Lady 95, and he wasn't in the band.
Oh.
And I think he was 4 years old when the original Lady was recorded.
Definitely the best behind the
All
music.
All right, so that was fun with our re-records. You know, why bother? But, you
that's
know.
That's crazy.
That's what they do. Okay.
Because it's like, you know, fans get mad. Like, it just sounds the same as their old songs. Like, I know. We'll record our old songs.
Right, exactly.
You know, so like, and then they seem to like that. So.
But, you know, I understand from a live point if your singer leaves and you need to get a new singer. But then when
they pretend like the old guy never existed.
But then when they're laying it down on vinyl. So, Gary, I'll let you introduce the topic, Gary, and I'll let you even kick it off because I've been talking way too much.
Okay, Chatterbox. this is a song that I believe this is a listener suggestion, or, you know, maybe concurrent, maybe like we came up with it, they came up with it. But kickoff tracks, first song, first side, an album. And there's a lot of ways that I don't know how you approach that. Maybe you'll tell us your method.
Okay.
But do you go with the greatest songs that just happen to come first? Or do you go like, is it like the Ricky Henderson question where like maybe not the greatest baseball player of all time, but definitely the greatest leadoff hitter of all time? Is it the song that sets the table the best, gets the offense going, the song that gets on base any way it can?
Well, also
I found the song that steals second more than anyone else.
Yes, exactly.
Sometimes the song sets you up for disappointment too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because it's you're like, oh my God, that song's awesome. And then the album does not pay off at all. But yeah, so.
So it was very impossible because there's songs you love. There's great songs. And you could just like throw a dart and pick some.
Yeah.
So I've like a few of the different types, and I wanted to start with one that it's like this is sometimes song ones are like the rest of the album is just like a vestigial organ, just like a tail that doesn't need growing.
It was
up
only
that.
Made so that they didn't want to release a single.
Yeah.
Because that sounded cheesy.
Exactly. So we're gonna put a whole album on this. But this is actually a good album. This is a song. You know, this is a song is a classic when. It transcends the world of music and goes over into becoming like one of those sports anthems that they sing in stadiums. I don't know how this happened or how, but you can't watch like an international soccer game without hearing this now. I'm, of course, speaking of White Stripes, Seven Nation Army.
All right.
Cut One Side, One of Elephant. I heard that on some sports highlights. The crowd going, oh. Yeah.
I don't watch sports, so I've never heard that in the context you're saying. But
it's like European soccer. Yeah. I guess the World Cup, they were doing it at the World Cup, like the last two World Cups.
So strange. Pretty hip.
I think that that song is the whole way around the table, rock solid approved, because I love that song.
Yeah, great. Good song. And the D-Sam, and do you know it's Family Circus-like origins?
No.
Apparently, Jack White, when he was a kid, he thought Salvation Army was Seven Nation Army.
Oh, that's funny.
And he remembered that, and he named the song after a true story.
I'm hoping that he someday re-records that with a real drummer.
Ouch. That's solid. I don't care what you say. That is...
On that song. On that song.
I had a great interview.
I think you could. I think any of us could play drums on that song, though.
And who wouldn't want to?
I had a great interview with him recently where he really sprang to Meg's defense where it's just like... you know, he's played with some of the greatest people in the world, and he can't get anybody to recreate what she does. That childlike thing, it just like is exactly what like serves like those songs so perfectly that, yeah, you know,
it's like a kid in the kitchen with pots and pans.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
so, I will say about the soccer thing though. Yeah. I think it was the last World Cup was in Germany. Hearing 80,000 people in a German stadium chanting that is a little eerie.
Yep.
Not exactly quite the effect that are they wearing, Jack White intended.
Black, white, and red in that audience?
Creepy. It's creepy.
Well, my first side one, track one is off a debut album. And this song, I find myself singing this song all the time or drumming this song. Even when the song's not on, this is one of those songs that's always in my head and I'm always singing it. And this is from The Police's first album, and this is Next to You. I just love everything about that. I love the drumming. I love when the guitar finally comes in. I love when Sting sings like he's doesn't live in a castle. Like that's the Sting who lives in the back of a van, not the Sting who you know.
That is awesome. That's one of those cut one side ones. It's almost like a mission statement for the whole band.
Yeah,
not just that album, but this is like we're the Police. This is what we're about.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah,
we're gonna be about this for 4 years, and then we're going to record Synchronicity.
And look out.
Gary's up.
This is one of those cut one side ones that was just like one of those like life change moments for me where, you know, like the, to use a bad cliche, the Wizard of Oz, you know, open the door. Now, so suddenly everything's in color. I get it now. And, you know, like this is like if I had to pinpoint the moment where I like threw classic rock overboard and like, you know, I'm alternative all the way now. It was I just started working at the record factory and you were allowed to check out albums and two albums at a time. And I took out Private Dancer, Tina Turner.
Why not? Why wouldn't you?
And I took out, I like that Radio for Europe. I'll see what this REM song is. These REM guys are about. And I put this thing on and I'll never forget that sitting in my stepdad's, in front of his stereo and just this thing just washing over me and like, oh my God. It was like seeing God or something. Let's see if it happens again. Harbor Coat on Rock Solid.
The crowd is up to let in with the noses worn out. A handshake is worthy, it's all that you've got. Metal shields on wood, pushed to our back. There's a splinter in your eye, it reads rehab.
So that has that's everything that is great about REM. It's got, you get your jangly arpeggiations of Peter Buck and your melodic bass and your mumbling and best of all the drumming. The drumming is crazy.
Doesn't sound that much like REM though. The REM that I know.
The REM that we came to know. Yeah. That's more typified by a Orange Crush or something like that.
Yes.
Kind of they kind of went ZZ Top or something. That's yeah, it was crazy. But that was for a while, man. That was the shiznit.
Well,
I admit I've never heard that song.
No, okay. I have never heard it either. Say the title again.
It's called Harbor Coat.
Harbor Coat.
Yeah, off of Reckoning, their second album.
H-A-R-B-O-R, like harbor. I meant the harbor.
Yeah, and coat, one word.
Yeah. My coat.
Yeah.
Harbor Coat.
Harbor Coat. I like it. I'm going to play three in a row here real quick. These are when the opening track, side one, track one, is also the title track of the album.
Ah.
That's something that happens. And this first one, this is a band I don't even like.
Good.
I don't like this. I don't like. I couldn't tell you what the. I just don't like them.
Go on.
But I love this song, and this is a song called "Celebrity Skin."
Oh yeah.
By Hole.
Hole, sure.
Oh, make me over. I'm all I wanna be. A walking study. Yeah, now you're really made it. Hey,
So, guys, would I like the whole album?
No.
No, I
probably
wouldn't.
Not.
I don't really remember going much further than that track on that. I remember.
Was that Malibu that song on there, or was that a different album?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I feel like this was the second whole album, wasn't it?
This was the second. Yeah, this is the one where Billy Corrigan came in and, right. said, hey, I got to rewrite some of these songs for you.
So, whatever.
So, but that song is amazing.
Sure. Yeah.
So you're saying this is one of those examples. Not only is it the title track, it's also, it's going to let you down. The album's going to let me down.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little like, I don't know, I don't want to get too much into it. Like, there was a lot of talk about how Kurt wrote a lot of the stuff from the first album, and it's just better. Like, this is a little more pop rock, like not pop, but like pop grunge almost.
It seems more like a product, yeah.
That's a great song, though.
Certainly well crafted.
Well, here's two more title tracks in a row. These are staples of classic rock radio. I don't even have to say the titles. Let's hear the first one.
Sure.
Sure. That's a 1.3 in SongBox.
Yep, it is. Let's play until we hear that crazy vocal styling of Bon Scott.
Living easy, living free. Season ticket on a one-way ride.
This is Highway to Hell for the uninitiated. And then this next one, look, it's the end of the year. You're cleaning out your locker. You're packing up your book bag. You're giving your teacher the finger. And this is what you're thinking about.
You're polishing up your whacking stick like in Dazed and Confused.
And this is exactly what you're thinking about.
Wait, that whacking stick comment, it sounded weird.
Polish up my whacking stick later tonight.
We got no choice. All the girls and boys. Me and all the noise. Cause they found new toys. Well, we can't salute ya. Can't find a flag. If that don't suit ya, that's a joke.
I'll salute you with my whacking stick.
All right. For how many times I've heard that, I've probably heard anything other than the chorus maybe three times in my life.
I know.
You hear the chorus every day, no matter where you go.
And right.
Just that first part is almost unrecognizable.
Boy, the drums on that sound ancient, though, don't they?
Yeah.
That sounded like some Meg White children's drums, for real.
I give Alice Cooper credit, but I jump off on this where he gets to the part about, we can't think of a word that rhymes. Nice. You lazy son of a bitch.
He tried, man.
The ultimate form of rebellion.
I mean, before I'd ever heard that
song.
Does
that make it meta when he says, we can't think of, because now he's talking about himself as the songwriter of the song you're listening
Maybe,
to?
Yeah.
It's metal. I remember, in grade school riding my bike, before I'd ever heard that song and cutting through the Branham High School, and I saw that written on a locker, like, school's out forever. And I just thought that was the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like, yeah, man. School is out, Jack. These are a couple of examples, or maybe just one example. We'll see how it goes, because I didn't bring that many songs. Where it's just kind of like the best song in the album, and you don't really need to go much further than that. How about a little from 100% Fun, Mr. Matthew Sweet? Sick of Myself. How great is this song?
I love it. And again, this is in my iTunes, but no other songs from this album.
Starstruck by something in your eyes.
jeans to the rest of the album, but that's just perfection.
It
doesn't get much better than that.
I mean, if the whole album could live up to that song, that would be like one of the most popular albums of all time. That is such a great song.
And maybe it is going at a high rate, and maybe that's just like so far, maybe that's Usain Bolting it.
I guess so.
Ahead of the, but that 100% Fun album, it has Matthew Sweet as a youngster, like on the cover, like with some big headphones on in his back room. And do you ever notice what album he's listening to?
No. Is it a Kiss album?
No, it's a King Kong soundtrack.
What?
Yeah, is that weird?
The so, King Kong sound like the Jessica
the 78 King Kong.
Yeah. It looks like maybe it was just some kind of like reissue thing of
Is that even a thing? What would the soundtrack to the original King Kong?
I don't
even
know.
It'd be like
that's
a gorilla walking.
You know who we got to ask is Comedy Film Nerds.
Oh yeah, maybe they'll know. Mm-hmm.
They're coming in.
They'll be on in a couple of weeks.
Stay tuned to Rock Solid. You heard it here first. So, how about you go?
I got the kickoff track from an album from 77 called Little Queen. Mm-hmm. A couple of sisters from Seattle. I like to say that they invented grunge because they're from Seattle. This is Heart, and this is Barracuda.
Yeah, it is. So good. You know, I try to leave politics out of the show, but I love it so much when Republican politicians like try to co-opt these songs and the artists say, could you please not play that?
Yeah.
As much like Sarah Palin did.
I love
with,
it.
With Barracuda.
Jackson Brown has said no.
Tom Petty, Bruce,
Joe Walsh, like no.
Very seldom goes the other way. Ted Nugent does not. Dennis Kucinich, could you not be
playing
Wango Tango?
Or Cat Scratch Fever, please. But, so, man, Anne's voice, she can still sing like that. She really can still sing like that.
Are they in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
God, they should be.
They were really pioneers. Not just like, not just, women rocking out, but they invented like a whole new way of rocking in a way.
And it's so funny when you listen to songs that are recorded around the same time. Mm-hmm. And that was 1977. Whoever's behind the boards on that sounds amazing. The drums sound great. Everything sounds great. And then sometimes you get something that's like some Kiss albums from the 70s sound like they did it, in a closet.
By the members and White Dolls.
They were just inducted.
Oh, well.
Oh, they were? Congratulations.
Justice at last.
Yay. They got their memoirs coming out next month. They're actually going to be at the Grove here in Los Angeles doing a book signing. And in October, they have their new studio album called Fanatic.
Hold on.
It's going to be good.
I think I was wrong.
What if you said, no, I was wrong. They just died in a plane crash.
I guess they were just maybe only eligible. No, that can't be true.
In high school pottery class, I made my mother a heart-shaped ashtray with the heart logo in it.
Did your mom smoke?
She did. I'll say. Yeah, she smoked everything. But she was, and she liked to rock.
All right, cool.
So there you go. But
we moving on, Matt? Or are you still looking up info?
They were nominated, but not selected for induction in 2011.
Well, that's stupid.
The whole place is a sham.
Well, that's like Neil Diamond just got a star on the Walk of Fame last week.
Oh, and
Paula Abdul got one 15 years ago.
Well, and Paula Abdul, whatever, but, who's the guy?
There's so many people there.
Why do you have to take Paula Abdul down?
I don't know. She's the one I can think of.
Carson Daly, is probably beat Neil Diamond.
Yeah, I know. One of those things.
Yeah. Let's see.
You're up, my friend.
This is a song. This is like the guy who wrote the song said, I was just trying to write the biggest, most bombastic song possible to to like kick off this album, and I think it really succeeded. It's I realized like we're coming up on 60 episodes in, like I really only like about 3 or 4 songs. I think of
Girlfriend by Matthew. Sick of Myself by Matthew Sweet. That's one.
A few albums, but then I think about other. I'm here to like try to introduce people to new music, and
right.
They keep coming up with these same things. But and then I think about like. the Prophet Muhammad, he just had the one thing that he was on about all the time. We know.
Good example. Yeah, but,
so this is the first song off the first side of my favorite Decemberist album, Picaresque. And the song is called The Infanta. And what The Infanta is, it's like a little baby princess or something in Portugal or something like that. And he's describing this big grand parade that they're having for the Infanta. And the chord progression just keeps going up and up and up and up. And just tension is building. There's so many vocabulary words, so many, like, there's opera singing. There's just every damn thing is going on in this thing. And it opens up. You could play like maybe just like a blowing of the shofar. And like, oh, what's this big parade coming? Is there, looks like there's soldiers and elephants and holy shit. So anyway, let this wash over you. The Infanta. On Rock Solid.
Here she comes in her palanquin on the back of an elephant on a bed made of linen and sequins and silk. All astride on her father's line with the king. With her pitchers of liquors and milk, and we'll all come praise the Infanta, and we'll all come praise the Infanta.
Hey. Goes on like that for about 6 minutes. Have a dictionary handy. There's a lot of crazy words in there.
Did it start with him saying, "Here she comes with Colin Quinn"?
No, here she, yes,
on her back.
No, here she comes in a palanquin. That's what those things are called, like when someone's riding on an elephant, like in those little.
Pretty
things.
Sure it was her and Colin Quinn on and riding
Colin
an
Quinn.
Elephant.
It might have been Colin Quinn, but
that's a new topic. Shout out songs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Gave a shout out to Colin Quinn right in the middle of her song.
Oh, we're gonna play a lot of rap on that episode.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we
constant
are.
Constant shout.
What you got?
I got two back to back from the same artist. This is where people decide that the side one track one song should start out with a sound effect or yes, something. So here we go. Here's Billy Joel with "You May Be Right." What do we got here?
Oh no, it's like a bottle. Is that a bottle breaking? What was it?
That was a glass breaking because that it was off of the album Glass Houses.
Oh, okay.
Let's hear it again.
Stones.
All right, cool. And then
I had the chew bop of Glass Houses.
And then, and then this is the side one track one of Nylon Curtain. This is Allentown.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh, ah. For my money, the most depressing song in the history of rock.
Yes. It's a town in my home state. Yeah.
Well, we're living here in Allentown.
Originally called Levitt Town.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but then he changed it.
Didn't sound as good.
They didn't.
And then here in Levitt Town.
Gary, the Levitt showroom.
Uses up.
You'll love it at Levitt's.
Well, here's one that has like a couple of those sound effects-y things at the top. And this is something so great. This is another album that I've played before.
Okay,
it's
okay.
This is the other
Gary,
album that I like.
You're looking at the guy that plays Queen and Cheap Trick every other show.
But it opens up with some kind of weird like digital voice stamping thing, and then there's a woman like he's at an audition, and she asks him, you know, "Let me hear you sing." And then
is she at an audition with Colin Quinn?
No, it's John Bryan, and it's from his album Meaningless. And okay.
This is the album. Is this the album that's out of print that you can't find?
It's hard to find, but okay. It's so worth it. Every time the song is good. Got a Cheap Trick cover on there.
Which one does he do?
He does Voices.
Oh, that's a great tune.
And but this is the first song, and it's a great title for a cut one side one because it's called "Got to Start Somewhere."
Oh, great.
8 p.m.
Let me hear you sing.
I might not have anything to offer you. I might not have anything to say that's new. But you've got to start somewhere. Oh, you've got to start somewhere.
I just love that because it has that. It's kind of like an old showbiz phrase or something. Like, yeah, you got to start somewhere. Go ahead.
Does he do many solo albums?
That's he only has the one, and
that's
he
weird.
He did like the I Heart Huckabee soundtrack and the Punch Drunk Love. You know, he does a lot of soundtrack work and everything.
That Punch Drunk Love movie. Yeah. There's music, I think, constantly from beginning to end.
I think maybe you're right. Yeah, it's like a music video.
I was like, I remember watching that, and I'm like, oh, I know what's weird about this. There's constant music.
There's constant music. But this is like Jesus Christ Superstar. But I think that woman at the beginning is Mary Lynn Rice Cup, I think, because they were like an item at the time.
Oh, okay. So,
let's hear that again. Hold on.
At the beginning of Punch Drunk Love?
No, at the...
I know, I'm kidding. Let's hear if that's her.
8 p.m.
Okay, let me hear you sing.
Yeah, that's gotta be
that
her.
Sounds like her.
Yeah, that sounds just like her saying 8 p.m.
She's been smoking.
This is a band I like a lot. This is from an album called American Cheese. This is Nerve Herder. And this is, I'm going to play like two funny things back to back. And the lyrics, this is called Welcome to My World. And I just love these. Their lyrics, they're not like Weird Al, but their lyrics are really funny to me. So here we go. Welcome to My World.
Welcome to my world. Welcome to my world. Walking into late night Cinemax. Welcome to my world.
Jägermeister
and Captain.
No, keep it going. This one's.
I'm building a boat out of pudding cups. Welcome to my world.
Wait, keep it going.
Welcome to my world. Non-stop, no girl action without you.
Okay. I'm building a boat out of pudding cups. Welcome to my world.
Love, yeah.
Then this closes with a rant on the show Cheers, which cracks me up. He says, "I hate that Woody. I hate that Sam. I hate that and that dumbass mailman." I just love Welcome to My World.
I never heard that. That's another great cut one side one.
Yeah,
Welcome
I love
to
that.
My world.
Nerf Herder is like if Blink 182 were as funny as they thought they were.
Oh, that's great, man! I'm gonna high five you. Come on, let's do it.
Top my brother.
Now you know sometimes not everything has an opening. Everything has a start of something. Our show starts with Song Away.
Yeah.
By a band. What do they call Hockey Puck?
Hockey.
Yeah. Hockey. And there's another podcast that's very close to us. It's called Never Not Funny.
Yes.
They start with a song written by Jimmy's friend Daver. What's the song called?
Mad at the World.
Mad at the World. And one time, I had not made it into the Never Not Funny opening credits.
Oh,
you know they have sound bites.
Yeah, they change.
So then I was just trying to get into the
toss out some things,
and a fan actually put together a Never Not Funny opening with just me, and I came across this. I don't know how I came across this, but I'm like, well, I got to play this.
Oh, this is awesome.
People might forget this, so this is a Never Not Funny with Daver and Pat Francis.
Please don't take this personal. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way. Cause it's been one of those days.
You're a jackass, Jimmy.
For crying out loud, I know how to do it. You're pushing my buttons, Bonap.
Oh, you can suck it, Pardo. God damn it, well, Bonap. I've never been more outraged in my life. Nothing's planned, idiot. You are out of your mind, Pardo. You've ruined my day, Bonap.
You're never going to be in the open.
No, what? Really?
Yeah, never.
Well, that's disappointing.
I hadn't heard that since the guy sent it to me. I just got a kick out of it.
That's fantastic.
And I think we did end up putting in, well, that's disappointing. I think that is in one of them. I forget which season. But I still say that. That made me laugh so hard when it happened. But sometimes when Zoe's really acting up, I go, "You're pushing my bonus buttons, don't I?"
Gary, what do you got?
Well, Pat, you, you're familiar with the album Exile on Main Street.
Of course I am. I loathe it.
You love it. Pat loves to naysay. Pat loves to put things down. But the opening song there is a song called Rocks Off.
Well, that's great. And, I do love that.
And so there's this nerdy band I like called the Loud Family, and they figure and they're so like
from the Saturday Night Live sketch.
No. It's it used to be Game Theory, then they became the Loud Family.
Oh,
but,
my God, are you still talking about Game Theory?
I know exactly. Yeah, but they Rolling Stones, the most dangerous band in the world. Like, look at them and you get pregnant. You know, they're just like mad, bad, and dangerous to know. Loud Family, not so much, but they figure like, hey, maybe we could like cop some of the Stone swagger if we do Rocks Off. So let's hear a little bit of their version that kicks off their album, What If It Works. Well, harpsichord there.
Great song.
Yeah, pretty like faithful rendition of the tune. But here's where they betray their rock nerd roots.
Uh-oh, what do they do?
The second song on What If It Works is called Song About Rocks Off.
Oh,
they just kind of like talk about loving it. And do you want to hear a little bit about that? I mean, you should like seek it out, but just so you can... But it doesn't really sound like Rocks Off.
That's Beneath the Eagle's Wings.
2, 1, 2.
Please stay. Passes easily for nothing to say.
Straight to Nerdville.
Place to go. Okay. Those are my friends waving wildly. Don't mind them. I told them so.
Anyway, it's just kind of like a deconstruction of... Mick and Keith's relationship with ladies.
I'm glad you played the Rocks Off. First of all, Exile on Main Street, there's 18 songs. I like 9 of those songs.
Okay.
9 of those songs I love. I forgot to play one. It's Before Barracuda.
Oh.
This is a class. I mean,
I wasn't going to say anything, but yeah.
The Rolling Stones, almost all their albums kick off great. But this is from 81, from Tattoo You, and this is you know this one.
That's all you need to hear.
Start me up. I mean, Keith has got those riffs, those licks that just you hear it and you go, oh yeah, that's the Stones. That's
now
makes a grown man cry.
I know.
Makes a grown man cry.
Makes a dead man
cry.
Come. No, it makes a dead man come.
What?
Yeah. That's what it is.
What? I remember.
That's the lyric. Makes a grown man cry, makes a dead man come.
Remember,
they say that in that song?
Yes.
Totally. Oh, you never heard that?
I've never heard
Dick
that.
Dick Clark was outraged about that. I remember reading an interview.
Oh, Dick.
Why did
Your name's Dick.
Your name is Dick.
That's why he's outraged. Now he's dead. Coming all over the place.
Editing happened. Wow. You got another one?
Yeah, real quick. This is just one of those best song of the album ones, I think, from 83, Power, Corruption, and Lies. It's New Order. Age of Consent.
Hold on.
Matt, you like New Order, right?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, maybe you like this.
Well, Matt loves them.
I don't dislike them. I don't know why you had to call me out, though.
One of Matt's favorite bands, New Order.
He loves you.
I like this song.
You love them.
Let's hear a little bit of his plaintive wailing, and then I'll play my last song. I like his voice because he's like the less dramatic Morrissey. He's just like, I'm a little depressed. You know,
it's like, hey, no big deal.
No big deal. And finally, this is one of those, it's kind of like one of those mission statement for the whole bands, but kind of like mid-career rather than the Police. This is from the major label debut of the Replacements, and it's called Hold My Life.
All right.
Down on all fires, let me crawl if I wanna, good die. Oh, my head.
you remember where that comes from, Pat? The Razzle Dazzle Drazzle Drone?
I don't.
Time for this one to come home. Remember Tudor Turtle? Help me, Mr. Wizard! It was this turtle. He wanted to have adventures, so he'd go visit his wizard pal.
Was this an educational show?
It was a cartoon.
I was watching The Mighty Heroes.
Oh, okay. Oh, with Diaper Man.
Diaper Man.
Tornado. Rope Man.
It was Baby Man.
Yeah. Rope Man.
Rope Man. Strong Man.
Cuckoo Man.
Cuckoo Man. Tornado Man. Just five of them. Look it up. That? YouTube it.
And Better Man.
And Better Man.
Better Man.
they couldn't find Better Man.
It was always missing.
Missing all the time. But that marked like the... A gradual decline for the Replacements. It's like, you are going to be the saviors of rock. Oh, we can't. We don't want to.
We don't want to have that on our shoulders.
But it should be noted that I wrote a very not good unproduced pilot called Hold My Life.
Oh, well, congratulations.
That's awesome.
Wasn't good.
Well, you made the effort.
Anyway.
I'm going to close out. I got two more. We're running long, but we did that re-record bullshit up top. So, but sure this is where the lead-off track of the album is so great that the band actually...
Breaks up?
No. Oh. They open their shows with it.
Oh, okay.
And these aren't the live versions. These are the studio versions. But first is from 79, from Get the Knack, Let Me Out.
You can tell that this is not the live version because there's nobody saying, play my Sharona!
Play Sharona! Okay, that's cool, Matt.
Isn't Prescott Niles like a Never Not Funny fan or some...
Is he?
What?
That would be
some,
great.
Somebody wrote into some... Anyway.
Maybe. All right. And then this is...
probably another podcast.
This is from 2002. I saw these guys live open with this. They played the intro from behind like the curtain, and then when they hit the... When they really hit it, the curtain drops, and there they are, and it was crazy mayhem. This is Foo Fighters, All My Life.
All my life I've been searching for something, something never...
People are going crazy. Oh, my God. It was like a curtain where you could see them through the curtain.
Through this like, curtain.
Motherfuck, that's a fucking Foo Fighters. I think Mike Schmidt grabbed my neck and twisted it at that point because I was with Mike. Feel it come to life when I see your ghost. And this is where Mike Schmidt threw me over the balcony.
I was at Foo Fighters show.
Yes.
I was in the hospital.
Love it. I like the show.
This was fun. Thanks.
I like side one, track one. Next time we're going to do side two, track 10.
Good. Good. I think that'll be great. Closing
great
closing
closeout songs.
Thanks to you if you recommended it.
Yes, if that was your idea, thank you very much.
Thanks to all the new fans. Thanks for liking us on Facebook and writing reviews on iTunes, following us on Twitter. And I've said my piece. I don't know if Matt Belknap has anything to...
I got to play out.
Let's do a shout. Let's do a shout out too. Let's give a shout out to someone who always is posted on the Facebook page. I'm just going to pull it random. I'm going to say shout out this week to Thomas Tate.
Thomas Tate,
thanks for listening. Thanks for posting and having fun with the Facebook page. We appreciate it.
Hell of a song pop player, that guy.
Oh, he is? Yeah, I'm not playing with anyone. Terrible at it.
All right. Like I said, I just thought of this 10 seconds ago. Here it is. Beastie Boys from their debut album. License to Ill, the song is... Oh, and by the way, I used to have... This is a little story for you. When I was in sixth grade, I think, I got an alarm clock that had a top-loading cassette deck.
Sure.
You would push it in like a car stereo cassette deck. You would just push it in and it wouldn't even go all the way and it would kind of come out the top. But the thing about this alarm clock is you could set it to wake you up to the cassette playing, which we all take that for granted now with like iPhones and iPods. But this was crazy in 1986 and 87. So every morning for, I think, a year and a half, I would wake up to the Led Zeppelin drum beat
all right.
sampled by the Beastie Boys from Rhymin' and Stealin'.